Hello and welcome to this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College.
And I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
In this podcast, we're going to discuss discussions. That is, we're going to talk about how to lead a good discussion in a Sunday school class. Dan, I see that you've brought in your Sunday school teacher's toolbox.
Yep, there it is.
What teaching tools do you have in your toolbox that would help us lead discussions?
Well, let me open it up. I know, lousy sound effects, but I had to do that. Well, I've got lots of tools here that will help us lead discussions in Sunday school. But in this podcast, I'd like to talk about four tools in particular: the conducive classroom, discussion starters, turn and buzz, and W and WSW.
I recognize some of those teaching tools, but not all of them. What is WNWSW?
Well, I want to save that one for last. How about I start with the conducive classroom?
Okay.
So I got this phrase, conducive classroom, from a book for Christian educators called Creative Teaching Methods by Marlene Lefebvre. Let me read to you what she writes about conducive classrooms in that book. The success of a discussion depends on the people involved and the topic they're discussing, not on external variables such as room arrangement. Even so, the leaders should try to make the classroom as conducive as possible to discussion. Circles or semicircles make the best seating arrangements because they eliminate the seat of authority. Children react directly with each other. No longer is the teacher the central figure in the room, through whom all comments and questions must pass. Also, in these arrangements, each person is able to see all classmates' expressions and reactions. This adds an additional dimension to the discussion. Be aware that if children are comfortable, they are more apt to enjoy interacting. Make sure the room is as comfortably furnished as possible, well lighted, and moderately warm. That's how Marlene Lefebvre describes a conducive classroom.
Now that's just mostly good common sense, isn't it?
Yes, but it's easy to forget nonetheless. We're so used to standing up in front of groups when we're teaching that sometimes you find yourself standing in front of a group of children who are all seated on the floor. They're all looking up at you and you suddenly realize they can't have a discussion where they talk to one another because they're all craning their necks to look up at you. So I feel that leading discussions is one of the most important things I do as a Sunday school teacher, so I always try to get into the classroom early so I have time to set things up so the children will be able to sit in a circle.
Now let's go on to the next tool, which you call discussion starters. Tell me about this.
Well, this phrase also comes from Marlene Lefebvre. She puts it this way: the question or comment a teacher uses to start a discussion is very important because it sets the direction for what lies ahead. Discussion starters that begin with the words why, explain, and what do you think are usually good because these words indicate that there is something to discuss.
Can you give me some examples of this?
Well, an example of a good discussion starter. Well, in the last podcast, I told a story about Rabbi Akiva, who was executed by the Romans for teaching the Torah. The story ends with the sentence, "And when Rabbi Akiva was killed by the Romans, he died in peace with the words of the Torah on his lips." So a good discussion starter might be something like, "Why do you think Rabbi Akiva died in peace?"
Any other hints about using discussion starters?
If I'm planning to include a discussion in a Sunday school class, I will spend a substantial portion of my lesson preparation time thinking up good discussion starters. Even if the curriculum I'm teaching from has discussion starters in the curriculum, I carefully review them and I think about whether they will work well for the children in my class. It really helps to know the children, because if you know their interests, you can include their interests in the discussion starter.
What are some examples of this?
Well, so for example, right now you and I are both teaching a comprehensive sexuality education class for young adolescents. And we've already found out that at least some of the young people in the class want to talk about dating and relationships. So if I'm going to lead a discussion in that class, I'm going to think about how I might relate the discussion topic to relationships because I know they're interested in them.
Let's talk about the next tool that you mentioned, the turn and buzz strategy. What's that?
Well, actually, Joe, I suspect you know more about turn and buzz than I do. Here's my brief description. The leader proposes a discussion topic, then asks the children to pair up with another child and then first discuss the topic in pairs. But you got a better explanation, I'm sure.
Yeah, in my teaching, I like to use a similar strategy called think, pair, and share. In this strategy, a teacher first poses a question to the class, sort of like your conversation starter. Then the children are asked to think about the answer for a minute or two, and maybe even write or draw something on a piece of paper. Next, each child shares their answer with a partner. Then the whole class shares what they heard to the question with the entire class. So, for example, let's say you're doing a lesson on the interdependent web of all beings. You might ask the children to think about the question, who do you depend on, and who or what depends on you? The children would think about this, maybe draw something, talk to someone next to them, and then the entire group shares what they heard. This type of strategy is really good for the more complicated or deeper questions. It gives children a little more time to consider their responses. And for kids who are on the shy side, they get to speak and listen to someone one-on-one as opposed to the entire group. And you often get more interesting answers and discussions than going straight to a whole class discussion with this strategy. Also, kids who are in third grade or older are likely to have experienced this type of think, pair, share in their regular school classrooms. Now that you mentioned that last mysteriously estranged topic called WSWNW, what does that mean and what does this tool do?
Okay, so WSWNW stands for What, So What, Now What. It's a teaching tool that you can use to shape and to guide discussions, and it works like this. You begin by introducing the topic for discussion. Let's say you want to have the children discuss a story. So to begin, you tell the story. Once you have introduced the subject, the first step is to ask, what happened? Going back to the example of the story about Rabbi Akiva, so I might begin the discussion by asking the children, what happened in the story? How did the story begin? And you guide them through the story. What happened first? Then what happened? What happened next? And so in this first preliminary stage, the children wind up retelling the story in their own words until they have a good grasp of it. When you first try this with a group, the children will mostly just respond to your questions. But if you use this technique often enough, the children will learn to guide themselves as they rehash what happened. Next step is to ask, so what? So what's important about this discussion topic? What meaning does it have for us? By now, the children have warmed to the discussion, and they're usually raring to go. Using the same example, I might ask, what do you think is important about the story? I might ask a question like, do you think you will ever face a situation like this in your life? By now, the children should be expressing their own opinions and talking directly to each other. Instead of asking questions, you begin acting more as the moderator. And your role is to keep the discussion on track. Keep them thinking about, so what's important about this discussion topic? And then the third and last step is to ask, now what? In other words, I want children to apply the discussion topic to their own lives. Using the same example of the story about Rabbi Akiva, I might ask, what would you do if you were Rabbi Akiva and the Romans ordered you to stop teaching the Torah? Would you stop? Why or why not? And this is when you get really interesting discussions with the children. And one last thing that I should mention is that in my experience, you can have pretty amazing discussions with children as young as 5 and 6 years old using this technique. Sometimes the teacher winds up being the center of the discussion with younger children. They don't talk to each other quite so much. But that's fine. You still have a good, meaty discussion.
Okay, that's a good description of the what, so what, now what, or WSWNW strategy. Thanks for sharing these four tools that you've talked about in leading class discussions. There are lots of ways to lead discussions in Sunday school, but we've just talked about four that come to mind that we've had good experience with. And again, they are creating a conducive classroom, having great discussion starters, the turn and buzz, and the WNWSW. I hope these have been useful to you, and we'll talk to you more. That's it for this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. Thanks for listening. We welcome listeners' comments. Send us your thoughts and feedback by email or post a comment on our blog at paloaltocre.wordpress.com.
I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
And I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College. Take care and be well.